Count for this morning is 269. Pretty remarkable. If you look outside, I encourage you not to look outside right now. Maybe a good reason why we have these windows here where you can't see outside. But it tells us something about us, and it's good and it's important, and that is we want to be here. And we love God. We'd rather be no other place than here right now. I want to tell you a story about a man who walked into the waiting room at the doctor's office and sat down. And a little bit later, a mother comes in with three young sons and grade school age young boys. And the boys were kind of rowdy and they were disrespectful too. And this man kind of observes this. This mother, she's trying to corral them. She's trying to keep them under control and not having too much success with it. And so finally, at one point, the man gently but firmly says to the boys, "Hey guys, this isn't a place to run around. Will you please sit down?" And the boys, shock on their face, you know, and they go and they sit by mom. There's a shock on her face, and a little bit later, she looks at the man, and with an expression of approval, she says, "You know, the power of a man's voice in a boy's life never ceases to amaze me. You remember when you were young and your dad would speak in a voice, in a tone of voice that would get your attention? There is something about a voice of a father, and there's something about the voice of our Heavenly Father." And I want to talk this morning about three different parts of God's voice. What do we think of God's voice? And the first one is the power of God's voice. Turn to Psalm 33, verse 6. The power of God's voice. Here's a psalm that talks about creation. We know in the beginning God created everything, but Psalms reminds us, Psalm 33, 6 says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry hosts by the breath of His mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere Him. For He spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm." Can you speak and something happen? Can you make something happen just by speaking? I don't mean telling your kid to come here. I don't mean, you know, saying something to someone else and asking them or commanding someone else and someone else do something. I mean you speak and it happens. I remember driving, and you know, you drive and you have a friend in the car and you're coming up on a red light and you're just kind of playing. You're just being goofy, and you say, "All right, I need this light to turn green. You're coming up on it. I want it to turn green so I don't have to get on the brake. All right, 3, 2, 1, come on now." And you try to command that light. It doesn't work. I mean, you might get lucky, but it doesn't work. You can't say something and it happened. Do you remember when you were young, did you ever try to make something levitate? Did you ever look at a spoon on a table and you just, "Man, you know, if I thought hard enough, I could transcend this physical world and make this thing levitate." We can't do it. And yet Genesis 1:3 says, "God said, let there be light, and there was light." What do you think about the fact that God can speak and things just happen? What kind of power is that? Turn to John chapter 12, verse 23. Here we find Jesus, He's getting close to the time when He will be crucified. He knows it's coming. And John 12, 27, Jesus says, "My heart is troubled." You know, in the garden coming up, there will come the time when He's in the garden that He's praying and He's sweating, sweat as of blood, drops of blood. And He's in such distress. Well, He was in distress prior to that. In verse 27, He says, "Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." No. It is for this very reason I came to this hour. And Jesus is saying, he says, God, I don't want to go to the cross, but what can I do? What can I say? God, don't send me to the cross. That's the whole reason I came. So he has this earthly part of him that that really dreads it, as you can imagine, but he knows that's the mission. And then verse 28, Jesus says, Father, glorify your name. Next week's sermon, we'll expand on that idea of glorifying God's name. Jesus says, God, glorify your name. And here's a place where God speaks, and you may not think or remember or know of this occasion where God spoke. But Jesus says, Father, glorify your name. And then a voice came from heaven, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. I wish I had a really deep, thundering voice. You know, I envy Keith for his deep voice. I wish I had that. I'd really put something on that right there. Because that's what it sounded like. The crowd that was there that heard God speak that, the crowd thought it thundered. You ever see in the movies where they show God speaking and it's just this deep, powerful, overwhelming voice? That happened. God did that. You think your father's voice will send chills up your spine? Imagine what God's voice sounds like. But with our words, we can't do anything. We can't speak anything into existence. Can you speak and a storm stop? Can you speak and make it snow? Or can you speak and make it stop snowing? I'm pretty sure you can't. I know a number of people in here wish it would stop snowing. It's still snowing. We don't have that kind of power. We don't have that kind of control. If you heard God speak and it sounded like thunder, and God can speak in any way He wants to. He has spoken before in a whisper. But if God spoke and it sounded like thunder, would you listen? Would you want to hear what God's saying? Every Sunday morning and every Wednesday evening, you have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to gather here for Bible class. We gather in our different classes, adult classes, children's classes, and we gather in our classes for the purpose of opening our Bibles and hearing God speak to us. And it is one of the greatest things we can do. And I encourage you to make plans now. Next Sunday starts a new quarter for us, new quarter of classes. If you haven't been in the habit of coming for Bible class, bringing your kids for Bible class, start next Sunday. Just make a commitment, make a decision that says, you know what, God is speaking. Let's go hear Him. Let's go get together with the other Christians, open our Bibles, and listen to what God's saying. I want us to think about the wisdom of God's voice. Do you remember as a kid when you were doing something you weren't supposed to do? Your mom or dad got on to you. I remember, mom was a stay-at-home mom and she took care of us mostly. So most of the discipline and the correction and the keeping us in line, I remember, came from mom. But once in a while you'd hear dad's voice. Boys, that's enough. Now, for some reason, it wasn't kids. You know, my older brother, my sister in the middle, for some reason, it was boys. You figure that out. But that voice, that father's voice of correction, doesn't it still send chills up your spine thinking about that? But why did our parents correct us? Our parents corrected us because they loved us. They wanted the best for us. And the same is true for God. We need to hear God's correction, don't we? Don't we need to read things in the Bible? And we read it and we say, I wish I hadn't read that. But, you know, God's right. God's right and I'm wrong. Sometimes it's like we place our hands over our ears and we say, I can't hear you, God. I can't hear you. I mean, sometimes we don't want to hear God. We want to do what we want to do. We don't want to listen. Sometimes people will leave church service. Sometimes I've heard people say, you know, I don't like coming to church. I've heard that they've said, I've heard that they've said, I don't like going. Well, I feel guilty when I'm there. We feel guilty because God's correcting us. God's correcting us because He loves us. God's voice, it's a voice of wisdom. It calls us to righteousness. God says, be holy because I'm holy. God wants us to be holy because it's best for us. He wants us to be holy because it's like Him. Psalm 33, 4 and 5. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all He does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of His unfailing love. If your kid asks you for candy, Dad, can I have some candy? Mom, can I have some candy? And you say no. It's because you love them. You've had enough candy. You haven't had dinner. It's almost dinner time. Mom, can I watch this movie? I know the rating's bad, but can we watch this movie? No. Can I play this video game? I know the rating's not good, but can I play this? Can I have this? Can I buy this one? No. Can I buy this song? I know it has a bad rating, but I like this song. No. We guide our children for their benefit. We tell them no for their benefit. There was a time, some of you heard me tell a story, a time when Elizabeth was young. She was probably maybe 4. And we hadn't been here all that long, and I came to realize that we have bald eagles that come here seasonally down by the dam and along the river. And at that time, I had identified one of their nests down on the road that runs down near the dam. And so I had had a camera with a new zoom lens, and I gathered her up and said, let's go see these bald eagles. And I was going to take pictures of them. So we go down there. She's as excited as I am. We go down to where the nest is, and I enter in this property, I hope legally, and I was walking in this property at the nest, and sure enough, there were 2 bald eagles sitting in it. And so I'm taking pictures. I'll take some pictures and then go closer and take pictures. I know at some point they're going to fly. We do that, and finally they do fly. And to me, it was just, that's an amazing thing. You see bald eagles, you don't see them everywhere. They're protected. They're a symbol of our nation. They're just an amazing creature that God's created. And so as we're leaving, I wanted this, you know, Dad, thank you, Dad, that was awesome. And instead, she was upset. She was pouty. She was not happy. And so I was asking her, what is wrong? Well, I wanted an egg. I wanted an egg. What did you want? You wanted an egg. We're not getting an egg, an eagle's egg. I wanted an egg, honey. You can't have an eagle's egg. And in her mind, she was going to get an eagle's egg, and guess what she was going to do with that? She was going to hatch that and have her baby eagle. Now, forget the fact that she wouldn't be able to hatch that. What happens if Dad takes an eagle's egg home, okay, and gets caught with that egg? Or if you don't know, even a feather in my possession. That's bad news for Dad. What we do for our children, we tell them no because it's for their benefit. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 19. Here's this great passage about God and how he guides us, how He corrects us, God's wisdom. Romans 6, 19 through 23. Kind of starts out, it'll almost be insulting when you start this out, but it does fit us. We're not always the smartest creatures. It starts out and Paul says, I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves, just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness leading to holiness. So Paul says, you know, you used to live a worldly life, but now you're living a godly life. Keep it up. Verse 20, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. It's an odd way to think about that. People who live a sinful life are slaves to sin. They may not know it. They may not want to admit it. but they're slaves to what their flesh gratifies and what it craves. And they do whatever they want to do, but they're slaves to sinfulness. They're free from God's control. Now, is that good or bad? And Paul says, verse 21, what benefit did you reap at that time from the things you're now ashamed of? So go ahead and think about it. The things in your past, I have things in my past, things that you're ashamed of, that were wrong, that were immoral, that were sinful, a way that you lived at one time, what did you get out of it? I mean, what did we really get out of it? And that's what Paul is asking. I saw this, Greg, on Facebook. There are great things that happen on Facebook that you'll see, and a number of not so great things, but I saw this and I thought it was very interesting. Dear past me, you were so stupid. Just beyond stupid. I can't even explain how stupid you were. Anybody else feel like that when you think back on some things in your past? Thinking, goodness, how stupid could you be? Dear present me, you're still stupid. Just not as stupid as you were before. Okay? Dear future me, don't be stupid. Now, that kind of sums it up. And what that's what Paul is saying here. He's saying, you did those things and they were so stupid. What did you get out of them? Nothing. But look here. Verse 22. Now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit. This is the benefit. This is the reason God tells us what to do. It's the reason we obey God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's word helps us to be holy. And the more holy we are, the better people we are. Wives, if you want a better husband, take him to Bible class. Husbands, if you want a better wife, encourage her to come to Bible class. You want better children, bring them to Bible class. Because the world is stupid and it teaches us stupid things. But if we'll get our minds in God's Word, it teaches us to be holy, godly, good people. We need that guidance, don't we? I want my family to have that guidance. We are already influenced so much by the world. We need God's guidance. And then thirdly, I want us to think about the peace of God's voice. In Matthew chapter 8, turn to Matthew 8. Jesus has a centurion, a Roman centurion, come to him and asks him. This centurion has a servant who's paralyzed and he's suffering. And Jesus, or the man, comes to Jesus, the centurion, and he tells him, Jesus, my servant is suffering. He just tells him what the problem is. Doesn't ask him for anything. My servant is suffering terribly. And Jesus says, in verse 7, I will go heal him. And the centurion says, no. It's kind of an odd exchange, isn't it? He comes, he says, my servant's suffering. Jesus said, I'll take care of it. The centurion says, no. But just say the word, and I know he'll be healed. And Jesus commends him for his faith. And he does. Jesus says the word, and the man, he finds out later, the centurion finds out later that he was healed at that moment. God can speak, and our troubles vanish. And what I mean by that is God can speak peace in your life in the midst of a storm. Now, we might prefer that God would calm the storm. I tend to always prefer that, just the human part of me. Whatever hurts, God, make it quit hurting. Sometimes God doesn't calm the storm. Sometimes he calms the child in the storm. And it's an amazing thing. God wants us to have happiness, but he wants it to be godly happiness. Because worldly happiness is, I have what I want, the way I want it. That's worldly happiness. And if that's what you're seeking, you will not find that. That is not to be found. That is an endless pursuit, and Satan is at the end of it. Godly happiness is, God, I seek holiness, and a byproduct is I will have peace and joy and happiness regardless of whether I'm in a storm or not. That's God's power to speak peace in our lives. Psalm 119, verse 165. This is from the New Century Version, I think, translates this very well. It says, "Those who love your teachings will find true peace, and nothing will defeat them." We want peace, don't we? But I want true peace. I don't want peace that hinges on me having everything I want, because that doesn't happen. I want the kind of peace that happens regardless of where the road leads, regardless of where the storm is. Is it in my life or is it gone? Psst. Anybody see her look up? My daughters have been trained like humans. Don't think like dogs. They've been trained like young human beings, that when Dad makes a certain sound, they look. I don't have to yell and make a huge scene, but just a unique sound, and they don't even think, they just look. Do we know God's voice? I mean, do we know it? Do we recognize it? Do we know it that well? You've seen this billboard? We need to talk. God talks to us through His Word. I like this picture. It says to me, here's someone who's taking some time with God's Word. They want to see it. They want to understand it. They want to make notes about it. They want to learn from it. Sometimes we wonder why we can't, you know, where's God in my life? God, you seem really distant. Well, what are we doing? Are we seeking Him? Are we trying to be near Him? Are we trying to fill our lives with His Word? I want my children to be in God's Word. Psalm 119, 167, my soul keeps your testimonies and I love them exceedingly. When my children grow up, I want them to be successful in life. I would like them to move out and not move back. Can I get an amen from older parents? I mean, that doesn't always happen. I don't know if it'll happen or not. I would like for them to be financially comfortable. I would like a lot of things for their future. But do you know what I want above all? I want them to love God. I want them to love His Word. I want them to be in love with God. I want them to follow God above all. Because at the end of this life, no matter what they do or don't do, if they're not in heaven for eternity, then what was it worth? And I just remind you to be in God's Word, and I want to make a special plea. Parents, let's have our kids in Bible class. It's interesting that we'll have them in some activities, and when we do a good job at teaching our children, when you start something, you don't quit it. Because children are, I'd say encouraged, but that's not near strong enough. Children start a sport or an activity, and at some point they don't want to go. Oh, we're going. We're going because you started this and you're going to finish it. Where is our excitement and our drive to have our children in a class with the Word of God, with the great teachers that we have here? I remind you of what's important this morning. Next week starts a new quarter, and let's be in Bible class. Let's be listening to God's Word. If you're here this morning and there's something that's heavy on your heart that you need, we're going to sing a song of encouragement. If there's something we could pray for you about, we'd love to do that. There may be one here this morning that you know God, you know His voice, but you've never responded and given your life to Him. You've never had your sins washed away in baptism. And if we can help you do that, please let us. Please come now while we stand and sing.
I am I no more. I am I no more. I am not with love. I am I no more. Jesus is.